Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People's Show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown.
It's the 21st of February in the year of our Lord, 2002.
NBA Live. That's NBA we're sticking with
live.
It. NBA Live. You're right, there wasn't an NBA Jam 2002.
Stig, as I said last week, it's the one franchise. It's not every bloody year.
NBA Live is, isn't it?
No, it's NBA Dead.
All right,
it was a big meteor that hit the stadium that year. Shut up. Monsters, Inc. is still the number one film in the UK.
It's the story about a big kitchen appliance.
I saw Space Jam. Enrique Iglesias's song and album is still the number one. Everything else, Silver Side Up is the number one rock album for like the next 6 months. I didn't think it was a bad album. It wasn't Nickelback's fault that This Is How You Remind Me was insanely overplayed. Do you ever listen to this album?
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, I remember liking it.
We're not allowed to like Nickelback, though. That's the rule. But I really liked it.
It's in the big thing, the big stone things that Moses brought down with him. From NASA's Mars Odyssey, space probe has begun to map the surface of Mars using its thermal emission imaging system.
A Mars Odyssey.
Ford ends 90 years of British car production with the loss of more than 2,000 jobs. Why have I written that? It's a really boring week for news.
To bring the mood down.
The BBC loses the rights to air The Simpsons, being outbid by Channel 4. However, the broadcast rights are held until 06, eventually ending in May 04. And if you thought that was dull, the big game this week is Woody Woodpecker, Escape from Bud... I can't even say
Escape
it.
From Colditz. Escape...
Oh, God, if only.
Woody Woodpecker, Escape from Colditz.
This game occurs in the cartoon universe, and for much of this adventure, the main character is Woody Woodpecker. During Woody's absence, his nephew, Knothead, and niece, Splinter, you know, the turtles, mate, were abducted by Buzz Buzzard, which requires an exorbitant ransom. What? Why is exorbitant should never be in the description for a kid's game. Exorbitant ransom for release from Colditz. Woody searches for his missing nephew, niece, in a dangerous Colditz built by Bud Buzzard, rather than the other ones, I'm not going to say. The game received a favourable critical reception at release. French magazine Joystick judged it as...
très bien.
Quote, fairly good. They didn't even dignify it with French. Like, you can fuck off.
I like how of all the reviews you've got, French Weekly said the game was très bien.
French Weekly, yes, the entirety of France.
Top 10 baguettes. Woody Woodpecker Escape from
Woody
Colditz.
Woody Woodpecker got the cover story. And the side note was, by the way, we've got a new Prime Minister.
And our new feature, onions round the neck. Are they back in style?
Ooh la la, NBA Live 02. But all that was happening in a pretty dull and unspectacular week in the world of 02, it's got to be said.
Black and white stripes, are they back?
What is that lad from Star Wars? What's happening in the disgusting pus-filled world of professional wrestling? These questions will be answered, along with many others you didn't want to bring up, by ourselves, Mafu, the dulcet tone one, Tom, the professional one. This is the Cult of Lit Classic SmackDown Review.
We are not alone, Matthew Gregory.
Yes, I still believe.
Because Woody Woodpecker's Escape from Colditz is with now. We're not alone. This week, who's the third man, as Dusty Rhodes once cried in 1996? Well, we thank you for always supporting us on Patreon, if you do. One of our Patreons who is wild and woolly enough to have opted to join us for an episode of the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review is the wonderful Jason Goddard, and he's with us via the power of the internet from his home today. Jason, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
So, what's your name?
Jason.
Surname?
Goddard.
Oh, okay. You don't be Jason Stoppard. I was going to say it was nice to have the lad from the trucks.
No, sorry.
It doesn't work now, does it?
I wrote Stoppard because I was writing something else at the same time. But
look, I've got the pictures of the Stoppard trucks ready.
You've got the Stoppard trucks.
Doing it right.
Do the joke anyway.
Well, it's good to see the lad from the trucks joining us. Hey, how you doing, Jason?
Yeah, all right, thank you.
No
yeah.
refunds, by the way.
There's another joke you can do. We can just shout, Jason! From Detroit Become Human. Where they walk around, no. Going, Jason! Oh, no, it's from Heavy Rain, isn't it?
It's from NBA Live 04.
Shut up. It's not
you hairy boob. So, Jason, thank you very much for joining us today. It's a pleasure and an honour to know that people actually listen to this drivel. What do you remember about 2002 regarding watching WWE? Were you a fan back then, or have you retroactively watched it, or what?
Yeah, I was a big fan back then. I remember Hogan versus The Rock being the main thing happening.
Good. You can end this episode comeback. Because that doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen. Now, sometimes I wish it didn't.
We spoke t'other day, Jason, and you told me that a mate of yours has a wonderful connection to 2002 in the wrestling world, that I know that it will make Matthew Gregg's face light up like a Christmas tree.
That sounds painful.
About my brother.
Yeah, your brother. Sorry, you're not even about your brother.
You can be mate.
Yeah, my brother was at WWF New York for WrestleMania this year.
Oh, wonderful. So we got to eat the Jimmy Hart pasta and brush shoulders with, hey, I'm watching wrestling here. Oh, that was the one where Big Show showed up, didn't he?
Big Show is just amongst them.
Yeah, the Big Show. Yeah.
And because Cody Rhodes made fun of him going, how dare you think you're going to beat me at WrestleMania? This is the state of you at WrestleMania. Him going, WrestleMania, baby! Woo!
I remember that, like, yeah.
Boat.
I remember that, yeah.
What people don't know, that it was actually Jason's brother that he had on his shoulder in the video. It's Jason's brother. that he was lifting up.
Yeah! Little known fact.
The Jimmy Hart pasta is on me, lads!
Is the thumbnail for this going to be a picture of that and go arrow to that kid going, this guy's brother is on the podcast? It's like a really crap comic convention.
That's essentially what we're going to do.
A man who walked past Tom Bagel will be signing autographs later on. Anyway, Tom, this is the bit of the podcast where you like to set the scene and tell us what is happening in the wonderful world of professional wrestling.
It is, and here I come, setting the scene. I have arrived. So this week, the NWO has very much got its hooks into the World Wrestling Federation, but there is another outlet who look to bring the company down this week, and that is the LMJ, the Lancet Medical Journal. They've written an article about studies that link WWF to a violent behaviour among children.
No.
So they've cited the Robert Durant study, which shows that the high school students who watched WWF programming had a higher usage of alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, violent behaviour, and violence in general. As noted at the time, and after a discussion, Durant conceded that the study, which did have very consistent proof of correlation, couldn't say for definite that there was proof of watching WWF tended to make people more violent, but there is still a strong belief that people who watch WWF, a greater proportion of which, turn violent. Now, the problem is that I worry that I've probably added to this statistic because as a WWF fan, finishing up like high school at this point, there very much was a high school wrestling federation and we have hardcore title matches at lunchtime and I think at least one kid got a concussion, at least one kid broke a finger. So I'm pretty sure that I'm actually part of the statistic here by the Lancet.
So what LMJ have said is watching wrestling makes you cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you.
Said.
The validation we've been searching for our entire lives. Thank you, MLJ.
Jason, all honesty, please. Did you wrestle during plague time at school?
Not during play time at school, but after.
Oh, yeah. Sensible.
You hit each other with, baking trays and jump off ladders and I got speared for a fence once. So yeah, pretty much took it quite serious.
Was there like an actual federation here, or was it just we're just going to do some?
Yeah, KWF it was called.
KWF. Come on, Jason. Who was your character in KWF? Come on.
Grandmaster Rode.
Yeah, that sounds like O2. How many shows was it until you booked Jeff Jarrett?
We didn't have Jeff Jarrett, but
must try harder.
We did a lot of storylines that WWF did like 2 weeks later. It was a bit weird.
Oh, so you booked Hogan Rock as well?
No, we never have done that. But yeah. No,
what if Brody J gets hit by an 18-wheeler?
See, I knew you were still bad.
We've done it. Hey, look, the KWF probably had a stronger chance of life than the XWF.
Oh.
And we got XWF flavor news.
What's that doing in 02?
It's still going.
Bollocks.
Yeah, I know, right? We thought it was dead on the vine in 01. The first XWF house show took place in Amarillo,
XWF.
Texas.
XWF?
XWF.
I thought you said XFL.
No, XWF, I said.
Jason, did he say XFL or XWF? He's not paying attention.
Because I transitioned from KWF to XWF.
Maybe I heard XFL.
Yeah, I think you heard. Bollocks. You're thinking about
in my
the
head.
Football.
I went, "Ooh, I want to hear about XFL." It's Matthew.
Oh no, it's
let it go.
It's dead as doornails. So the XWF had its first show in Amarillo, the day after this episode of SmackDown. But I thought it was pertinent enough to bring it up. 2,000 people turned up in Amarillo,
it was
Texas.
Pretty there.
To see an XFL game. Honest.
He hate me turned up definitely. Now, a big reason why they turned up was because they made the sensible decision of booking Conan and Rey Mysterio Jr. on the show. And obviously, they're in Amarillo, which is sort of in the New Mexico area, which means that you're going to get a larger crowd. And also, Ronald Mysterio hasn't been anywhere since WCW ended. So there's certainly intrigue in booking him for a match. So fair fucks to XWF. We've got Conan and Rey on this card. But it featured Buff Bagwell versus Johnny B. Badd. We saw Kid Cash pinning Josh Matthews of Tough Enough. Remember her?
Oh, wow.
We saw Norman Smiley and Simon Diamond. Norman Smiley.
That was a gimmick.
Roddy Piper got involved in a showdown in the match between these two. It ends up becoming a mixed tag match with Little Genie teaming with Norman Smiley to face Simon Diamond and Dawn Marie.
Little Genie?
She was a ref at that point.
Did he give her the rub?
I don't know what he did. The Wall pinned Ian Harrison. Very sad.
Oh, Ian Harrison.
Hard body. Ian Harrison. Ian Harrison was a UK wrestler who just looked like he was about to burst. Is the only way to describe him. Too muscly. And just had the scariest facial expression you've
ever
seen.
He couldn't walk over certain bridges.
He was too busy being under them. Also... from this show, we had... Where were we? Where are we in my notes?
Oh, yeah, please don't miss a thing.
I don't want to miss the thing. They introduced Ricky Romero, a huge star in Amarillo, as a babyface in the 60s and 70s. His sons, Mark and Chris Youngblood, got a shout as well, which is nice. Conan and Rey Mysterio Jr. beat the Nasty Boys.
Oh, God.
Tough night at the office.
I'm like, wow, Conan and Rey, that's great. Nasty Boys, great.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of promo work done aimed at Mexican fans with Conan and Rey. A big percentage of the crowd were there to see Conan, Rey Mysterio Jr. and Vampiro mainly. They got the big pops of the night. Reports were that this match doesn't sound good on paper with the stars clash, but the heat from the crowd got everyone going and the Nasty Boys worked really hard. I believe that when I see it. Mm-hmm. Terry Funk pinned Greg Valentine. There we go. That's the XWF I know and love.
Where did that come from?
Gets better. Greg was managed by Skandor Akbar.
Fuck off.
And they both bled heavily.
Hey.
X-Dub F. Vampiro showed up late to the show. because they screwed up his travel arrangements. He rushed to the ring still in his jeans and T-shirt and did a very quick squash main event over Hale. When he arrived, he claimed the door on the aeroplane fell off and they had to re-land.
That's the story then. Yes, I've heard that story before. It's supposed to be an XPW story. I didn't realize he did it. Either it's been misappropriated or he used it multiple times. The door of the plane fell off. What, mid-flight?
Arguably, if the door of the plane fell off, you get to the venue quicker. And we have a guest appearance on the podcast.
Whoa, what the hell is that?
Beetroot's in the house. So we met, if you're watching on the video, thank you. Never apologise for a Beetroot cameo. So we know that Jason Goddard has a gorgeous cat called Beetroot, who I've met before. And Beetroot just wandered past the camera there, looking like a Catzilla type creature. You're watching on the Patreon. Beautiful boy. Hey, never apologise for Beetroot. Is Beetroot still there, or is he just...
Yeah, he's still there.
He's floating around. That's good. Well, look, fingers crossed for another
Beetroot. I moved rooms, so he'd stay away, but he's just there again.
He just loves you. He's like, where you going, Dad? Where you going, Dad? I just want to come be near you, Dad.
I appreciate that. It's like playing Shadows of the Colossus.
Whatever you do, don't climb on my back. That's my weak spot. Right. There's all sorts of rumours regarding TV. Those closest to the situation with XWF don't expect anything to be signed until around September. There have been meetings with Turner Broadcasting, apparently, because Jimmy Hart's friends. There is absolutely no hope in hell of Turner Broadcasting picking up wrestling. They've just got shot of WCW. Why on earth would they even dream of signing WCW that you bought on Wish? Yeah. It's true, though, isn't it? It's true. A hot mess. So that's your XWF update.
Do you think that I had a meeting with Turner and it was just like, hey, how you doing? How's life? Been up too much? And he's like, yeah, actually, because I'm so glad you're away from all that wrestling malarkey. He's like, yeah, puts his thing back off. Yeah, I'm away from that now. Just chilling with my giant cat.
Jimmy Hart just scrapes the pasta back into his suitcase.
Yeah, baby. Are you going to eat that, Ted?
Just come to see whether you want any songs remade copyright-free badly.
So what's in your bag, Jimmy? Nothing. I knew you'd have food.
He leaves in a rush and the suitcase opens, just pasta falls out everywhere. It's like my first job interview.
Is there anything else happening in the wonderful world of wrestling?
One exciting bit for us in the UK, Sunday Night Heat is coming back to UK TV screens. Yes!
Oh, yay.
Because Channel 4 got buyer's remorse about 40 minutes into Royal Rumble 2000. Yeah. Couldn't wait to fire him. And got shot of the WWF first chance they got. But it's going to be on MTV UK Sunday nights at 7 p.m. local time. So we're getting Sunday Night Heat back on UK television via satellite. Do you remember watching Heat on Channel 4, Jason?
Yeah, Channel 4. I don't remember it being on MTV.
I don't think anybody remembers when it was on TV, but it was good on Channel 4 because there was more chance of obscure family members just stumbling upon it and going, what's this rubbish? And you haven't had the whole conversation. I remember it was at home and it came on as my granddad was channel surfing. And was it my granddad? Was it my uncle? It was my uncle. And my uncle was channel. My uncle, oh, good old uncle granddad. My uncle was channel surfing. And I think Scotty Too Hotty was on. And he went, your dad could batter him. He'd batter him in a fight. He's not even a good fight. I was like, you're probably right. I only tell this story because on the same day, my uncle played, what was it? He played a car racing game on the Dreamcast. With the wheel. Okay. We had a Dreamcast with the wheel back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And he enjoyed, and he loved playing it. And then we all went for dinner. And then when I came back, the Dreamcast was still on, but he'd parked the car.
So that's amazing.
So he like pulled it up on the side of the road. It was like half on the curb. That's good, that.
Because that's what you do.
That's what you do. Yeah. That was the only reason I wanted to mention that story about my uncle.
That's a nice story.
Anyway, that's all my notes on the weird and wonderful wacky world of wrestling beyond SmackDown. This is the bit where we go to Matthew Gregory from off of Wrestling You've Been Framed, and he will tell us what happened on this week's episode of SmackDown, 21st of February 2002. Jason, this is where we find out if you've done your homework or not.
I've done my homework.
Good. So you got your. We'll be round to check it if you haven't. Oh my God, he's got a binder.
Oh hey,
this is gonna.
Oh, you mean with the pages and that? Right, fair enough then. yes, I have not only a live feed edition of SmackDown.
Yeah.
But I also have a note here that says, Matthew, NBA Live was a recurring franchise. You thought Tom was going to say NBA Jam, like he said last week, and you preemptively corrected him.
Aha!
And now you look like a guest. Who wrote that? Who wrote that drivel?
I said this to Jason on Monday, and you're going to see Jason, you're going to hear it with your very eyes that it's true. That Math writes these notes, has some sort of Men in Black type blanking memory amnesia moment, and then reads them like somebody's written them for him.
It's great.
It's my favourite part.
Yeah, it's hard to forget all these things happen when you watch Raw, Dynamite, Collision, Rampage, which doesn't exist anymore, but we still pretend it does.
I've written the notes for Raw and NXT this week. For the podcast, though.
Oh, you've watched NXT.
Oh, you're gonna have some. I've had some fun writing the notes, so you'll have heard that by now on the main podcast.
Get rid of that 6-hour podcast, Jason. So the Satellite Feed Edition records the things that happened before the episode of SmackDown and before even that. The following week, don't see. However,
Michael Cole putting his trousers on. Taz brushing his teeth.
All the highlights are there. We don't see these follow matches because the traffic must have been bad on the satellite. Albert and Scott Duhoddy defeating Brock Lesnar and Ron Waterman. Just the idea of, yeah, maybe your uncle granddad can beat Scott Duhoddy, but Brock Lesnar couldn't.
My God.
And again, wow. Ron Waterman, if you don't remember him, I've just called him H2NO. Mr. Perfect and Leviathan defeated Randy Orton and Shelton Benjamin.
Wow.
That doesn't even look like a real thing that happened. But Sunday Night Heat happens. The WWF IC champion William Regal pins Rikishi around the 4-minute mark after hitting with brass knuckles. Then Cole and Taz come out together like Tweak and Craig to click, click, boom. That's their tag team theme. Like the Golden Jets in AEW. The Orange Jets, I guess. Booker T then pins Val Venus at 5:57 with the Harlem Sidekick. And I've put, the only thing that's going to hit the women harder tonight than the big Valvoski is how hard 2002 hit me. God, he looks old and displaced and tired. Anyway, he assaults a woman in the crowd and then Booker beats him.
Okay, we should point out that I don't think he assaults a woman.
I mean,
it sounds like he just punches her.
Side, Tom.
Does he give her a big old kiss on the face?
Yeah, it's like he gets the mic and goes. And whereas in 98, there'll be loads of women going, oh my God, he's so hot. Now the women are look like they're acting the scene, Godzilla from a 50s film.
Have you noticed how our Valvinas is starting to sound like Richard from Bottom?
It kills me.
The big Valbowski must point out that is a smashing blouse you have on. Dwayne, come back.
Then Michael Cole reckons someone backstage should rib Tony Chimmel by making him change his tuxedo before the show starts. Taz points out a dude in the front row who's wearing an NWO shirt and Cole says, yeah, what about him? And Taz says, he looks like a freak. This is why you watch satellite feeds. Taz and Cole do an intro for the upcoming match and then stay silent throughout the rest of the match. I don't know what that's about. Tajiri, the Cruiserweight champion, pins the Hurricane after 4 minutes with a reverse backslide. It's a decent match.
These are also like prelim matches.
These are on Sunday Night Heat.
Jeez, it's been a full show. We haven't even started SmackDown yet.
Two titles? Bloody hell.
Jesus.
Where we are? Bloody hell, to try again, Matthew. Test. There we go. doesn't deserve the big T. Pins the Godfather at 4:26 with the roll of the dice / angel's wings / crossroads / whatever term you want to give that one. Test has a new crap theme to go along with his new crap finisher, which sounds like it came from the menu of this week's big Xbox game, UFC Tap Out. UFC Tap Out, also known as Ultimate Fighting Fighting Championship Tap Out. I guess if you're not in a rush, you give it its full name.
I've got a lot on today. I'll just call it UFC.
Yeah. The game features many of UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship's top stars, including Matt Hughes, Chuck Liddell, Mark Coleman, Frank Shamrock, and Woody Woodpecker.
Croupier. Lord Mayor's croupier. Comedian.
The new Prime Minister of France. UFC Tap Out received average reviews. Then Lillian Garcia sings.
Hang on, it was... Why did that float in? It received so average reviews, and then Lillian Garcia sings. And they get... Lillian Garcia sings, and then it gets great reviews.
Yes. She sings the UFC anthem.
Did you get that review from ChatGPT, by any
chance? The line's becoming more and more blurred.
It's difficult to tell now.
But yeah, Tess has a crap finisher, and Lillian sings. But this time, the dude who records these does not take this opportunity to check the settings. Lillian was pitch perfect this week.
This is like a wonderful common recurring gag now that... When we watch the live feed, during Lillian's song, that is when the guy who's taped the satellite feed starts just testing his volume.
Yeah. So you get the big menu thing on your TV going, volume, or like everything.
Maybe it's when that's when like his mum comes in and she's hard of hearing. So he has to turn the volume up so she can hear it.
Goes, and the Rockets, rah, rah. It's like, oh, fucking hell, yeah. That's the anthem.
UFC Tap Out.
Yeah. He couldn't check the settings. He was too busy standing to attention, saluting and holding his rifle.
Both of those could have been knob gags.
And it's a weirdly... Thank you, Tom. It's a bit awkward, your mum's in the room.
Awkward, but not impossible.
And it's all a bit messy because they take forever to swap the graphics in the ring from Sunday Night Heat to SmackDown. They play the
more letters
intro. so thank you. Thank you, Carol Vorderman.
More letters.
Several times. And then Lawler comes out, and then they do it again. It's all over the shop this week. And then Lawler tells off Chimmel for making the people stand up then sit down. He's like, this isn't church, Chimmel, he says. So a really crap, weird build for this wonderful episode of SmackDown, emanating from Rockford, Illinois, the Metro Center. The
yes!
Thieving Bastard. That's what our thing is.
I got very excited by this, Jason, because the Metro Center is the name of the shopping center in Gateshead. Well, so when the word Metro Center came up, I was like, oh, brilliant. Are we going to go B&M?
It's a bit of a crap number for a WrestleMania build show of 6,706. But then again, a lot of people are probably stuck in Primark, as you just said.
Or they've gone to Popeyes because it's the only branch of Popeyes in the Northeast at the Metro Center. I went the other day.
How was it?
It was just chicken. I thought, I don't know. I was hoping to get chicken and biscuits. You know how they do that, Jason, where like they say chicken and biscuits, but it's chicken and scones. Like, because America's weird. And I was hoping to get chicken and scones. They just gave me like the Louisiana chicken burger. And it was just a chicken burger. And I was just like, oh, it's fine.
It's how they talk.
It's just America.
It's me,
American man. Hey, I'm an American man. it was just fine. It was just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was average. It was like UFC Tap Out. As I was eating it, I went, this is like UFC Tap Out. This is just average.
I like the idea of people pretending to be America. From Benwell, Texas.
Isn't there a wrestler who's from the Northeast, but he's via Canada? Is it Tim Strange?
What's his name?
He might be actually Canadian. I always thought he was from the Northeast, but I think he's from Canadian, but lives in the Northeast.
Right.
Hiya, Tim, if you're listening.
Yeah, obviously he's a big fan.
He's a Texan. He's got like a Texan vibe about him. He's got like a Stan Hansen-esque energy about him. I like it.
Yeah.
But I just thought I thought he was from the Northeast, and someone said, oh, he's Canadian. I was like, that's even stranger that he's doing the Texan thing. I love it. Cheers, Tim. Thanks for that.
All our fans are strange, if that makes sense.
Hey.
We start off with Vince McMahon talking to us via the screen, like that old dude from VR Troopers. I'm really sorry in advance, pal. I didn't realise you were going to be here today. So these are like, my mate Tom will be
yes,
here.
Yes, you did, because you prepared jokes last night. He's lying, Jason, I told him.
Vince says the NWO is bad because they ran ragged on Raw. Vince wants the police involved, and he thinks that even The Rock would agree that the suitable apology for the thing they did on Raw would be community service and also a handwritten apology. The crowd, thankfully, boo laughs, which is a relief because sometimes some of the stuff involved the NWO hasn't got the best receptions, but yes.
Well, Michael Cole, just in case people weren't sure, made sure to pipe up and go, well, that can't be the... That's not an appropriate punishment for what they did. Like, just in case there was any doubt. WWE doesn't deal in, like, half measures. WWE's writing is the equivalent of that bit in The Simpsons where Skinner goes, I guess you could say we're eating him and he's in our stomachs. It's that energy all the time.
Michael Cole is the equivalent in modern gaming when you're in a completely dark room and then there's a yellow staircase.
Go up here. Here, right now, that's right.
Anyway, tonight's main event is Undertaker versus Triple H. Ooh, looking forward to that big match.
Can't wait. I'm sure it's going to be a great match. They're going to get loads of time.
Yes. And Kurt Angle is here. Yay. Crowd are so into the you suck thing that they chant it after the intro bit when you can barely hear the crowd. So it goes, you know, you suck, you suck. And then the song goes like, da, 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 da. The chant you suck during that bit.
Oh.
Just, da, da, you suck, da, 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 da. They don't care. They know that they can hear him just a little bit. Kurt beat Triple H at No Way Out to main event WrestleMania. But he's not in the mood because last Monday night, he was defending that shot on Raw. Crowd watch him and Angle gets madder and madder. He gets so mad, we don't know what happened on Raw. I assume it was something positive for Kurt. Kurt says he's not leaving this ring until someone comes out and does something. So I can go Olympic on your ass. And that music can only mean that's gotta be Kane.
Yeah! We got a Kane sighting right off the bat.
Fantastic. Kane has an Olympic gold medal in injuring his elbow. Bell rings without a referee in the ring as this show is all loosey-goosey this week. Bloody hell. They grapple on the mat until Kurt Germans him like it's nothing before chair-shotting Kane to end it in less than a minute. Kane recovers because he's made of fire and sets up the announce table for a spot, but amazingly in the satellite feed, in the process of detaching the monitors, Kane throws one of them on the floor and then the other one, he accidentally slams on the table. So he picks it up and then slams it. And the entire thing falls apart. The pair of them improvise with Kurt Jim and suplexing him on the remains of it before battering him some more, before suplexing the old timekeeper. Yeah, take that, Geppetto. Kurt chair shots Kane's ankle because he needs another body part to hold on to, I guess, before ankle locking him some more. Nice bit for Kurt to get away from Kurt's loss to the WrestleMania shot on Raw. That wasn't mentioned much by Cole and Lawler. Thanks, she gets. They would later on, just to skip ahead, because you're probably going, what the hell are you talking about, Matthew? That's not what happened. Kurt would later come on a few segments later and he'd go, Kane, come out so I can hurt you some more. And then Kane wobbles out. Not Kane, who's Kane? Wobbles out and they just redo the spot with table breakers and all.
So that's how they got around it then. So what we got...
With magic.
So what Jason and I got was the edited version where they sort of put these two bits together. Yeah. Jason, what did you make of the hot opening to SmackDown?
There's one thing I realised about that is it took a hell of a long time for the refs to stop it.
Oh, yeah.
They were very slow on that, weren't they?
Now you get them straight out. Like, back then, Kyoto's just there. Like, he's not even trying to stop them.
About as effective as the AEW drug test, am I right? Where's your hat gone?
I took it off.
This is part of the thing with the review part. Sorry, I burped into the microphone a little bit there. Why have we never won a podcast award? I just don't understand it. What's going to happen is Chase is going to take an item of clothing off every 20 minutes of this podcast.
A new segment on the show.
Bring on WrestleMania length podcast.
Jason reviews the segments for the interpretation of clothing. I like this segment. Minus one hat.
They play their role to a T, or should I say, a T-shirt.
Oh, that's good. Write that down. I'll get that award and Reddit.
Right. Lads, Kane got fucking battered here.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting. I saw Kane come out. I go, yay! Kurt's gonna run. It's gonna be a lovely time. And Kane just got fucking twatted. I did not expect Kane to get the shoe in he got here. I was like, fair play. Angle looks hard as nails. I was like, oh, Kane didn't have his Weetabix this morning.
Yeah, you know the modern wrestling games. It shows you the little green body to show like all the parts that have been taped apart. Yeah. Given that Kane came into the match with his elbow taped up and then he got German suplex through a table, and then his ankle got snapped. He's just all red. He's the same colour as his costume now. So yeah, he's got the both of them have got nothing to be doing. Well, right this, now, so I might as well go to WrestleMania and do nothing there.
This might potentially begin the a new story arc for Kane, as we've been calling him Cool Kane for most of 2001. I think after this, we start calling him Fool Kane, because he just walks straight into a battering by angle. It's never looked worse. Fool
Kane! The chair's bent to fuck as well, isn't it?
Pardon?
The chair is bent to play heaven.
Oh,
seat on the floor is just...
I just get twatted. I'm so sad.
Twat Kane! That's me. Ow!
Hi, honey, how was work?
Oh, had a rubbish day.
His wife puts him in an angle lock.
He's just...
He's climbing it out. Here's the postman with a chair shot.
It's been a rough day. I just don't know what happened today at work. Where wasn't in it?
He just looks at the camera and goes, it's 11. As the milkman runs him out.
He just tweeted like Keith Leeds tweeted, happy birthday to me.
His phone attacks
Keith, him. Keith Leeds' birthday was yesterday, so as a birthday present, they didn't give him a title.
So he was like, I'd rather vacate the title. I'd rather bury it in the back garden and the worms could be champion than you have a Keith Leeds.
I was fucking spitting about that in the news this morning. I was fucking spitting. Like, Jesus Christ, just give Keith Lee the ROH TV title. No, Joe beats him and goes, don't even want it anyway. Fucking LAEW, shitbags. Fuck's sake, I'm so cross. So cross.
Don't worry, though, there's no links between AEW and SmackDown. Ric Flair. And Arn Anderson. They're watching this whole thing go down going, yeah, that's wrestling all right.
Before... That's wrestling all right. Happy 40th anniversary to our Vita's pet today, by the way.
Aye, thank you. Before Undertaker, the world's oldest teenager, shows up with his big red booger hoodie. Undertaker wants to dance with Flair at WrestleMania. Flair declines because that's Arn's role. Undertaker says he's going to be forced to do something to change Flair's mind and says that Arn must have been the one with guts in the Horseman. Yes, that's right. We saw them when Sid got his scissors out. No need for that, mate.
Looking at Undertaker, I put here, looks like a 15-year-old Jav. And when he said, oh, you're not going to do it? Looks like I'm going to have to do something then. I was like, looking at what you're wearing, what are you going to do? Fucking download LimeWire. The fucking state of you.
I'm going to hang outside Ric Flair's local office with my other mates.
I'm going to ring
ODK.
I'm going to ring chat back.
Midian. Is he still around? No, it was at least years ago, wasn't he?
Hey, Midian lost half his foot the other day.
Oh, no. Now's the time you decided to bring that heart-wrenching thing. Jesus Christ. Oh, is that why someone tweeted going, like, he gave his current age and someone said, Christ on the bike, Midian was in his early 30s in, like, 2000?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel so much better about myself. Bloody hell. I'm just going to find out what he was doing and do the complete opposite. I'll live to be a million. Then we see Hogan ramming the truck at The Rock on Raw. Oh, it's that episode. Yep, we're powering full steam ahead after NWO 2002, huh? But before we ask Jason what his thoughts on those two segments, Taz appears to tell you to smack down your vote 2002. And I stood up and sprayed water. Unironically, like Triple H and went, what? They were still doing this shit in 02. It's your country. It's your life. Get involved, says the 4'5" beast.
Don't digress. Vote today.
Really? Don't digress. Progress to the ballot. Ooh.
So let's lament, because we won't get to talk about it too much, but let us lament on what happened on Raw, which was the NWO... and Steve Austin running around. But then we had Hogan go back into the arena to thank the fans and then tell them they're shit. This brings out...
Say, yeah, I've got a little breakdown.
Oh, please do, please do.
I realise they go, here's a brief recap. Then they show Taz to throw me off. And then they show a really long recap of things. So, because this is basically the... If you remember WrestleMania X8 and go, what was the build-up for this? It's this. Clips from Rob Austin challenging the NWO and then all three of them pussying out. So Austin is mad and refuses to leave until they show up. So Angle comes out with some officers, with Austin putting his hands over, quote, an officer, so he gets arrested.
One of them was a trainee from the XWF, by the way.
I think they were all bloody whatever. These are dweebs with shirts that say security written on them, and they're pretending they're the police. This was horse shit. Oh, no, it's the police, says security in the back. They all look 20. Bullshit. The NWO wring their hands and go, tee-hee-hee, tee-hee-hee, now that Austin's away. Hall and Nash leave for sushi, but Hogan heads back to say, thanks for everything, WF fans, but thanks for turning your back on me, causing me to leave for WCW, and you can all kiss my ass, muhahaha. And not a lot of emotion from the Hulkster here, has to be said. Hogan says he's the biggest star in WF history, and The Rock shows up to go, no, that was Bruno. to challenge...
But we don't talk about Bruno, no,
oh my God,
no,
Bruno,
no,
Hogan,
no.
Finally at WrestleMania. And challenge the Immortal One to a match at WrestleMania. Crowd wants it. Hogan accepts and tells Rock, good luck, you're gonna need it. With The Rock saying, not as much as you, brother, before Rock bottoming Hogan. Then, later on, Nash and Hall, who were in fact not eating sushi, beat up The Rock at ringside so Hogan can strap Rock, and they all hit their finishes on The Rock with notable cheers, especially when Hogan lands a leg drop and then Hall counts a pin. So then Rock gets spray painted and put in a wham-bulance because The Rock got hit with a hammer or something, I don't know. But then the ambulance is stopped, the windows are smashed, and fucking Hogan drives his big ass Eddie Stobart truck into the ambulance, not once, but twice, killing The Rock forever. What did you think of this, Jason? Because fuck me blind.
Crazy, wasn't it? Mental.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
Jason is looking for his craziest apparel. Leave it on the house.
This deserves two less trouser legs.
Oh, no.
So, but what did you make of the build to it? Because obviously there's a lot of people that say, like, it was too much. Mm. Some say it was about right. What say you, Jason? Did you enjoy the build to Hogan Rock?
Yeah, it was something I didn't expect. certainly.
What, you weren't expecting Hogan to try and kill The Rock with a truck?
Yeah, but I think it works well, but then obviously at Mania, when the crowd turned Hogan face, it kind of just died off.
Yeah, I'm with you. If they'd stayed...
I don't know why he would cheer someone that tried to run down and try to kill The Rock.
He's very forgiven.
Yeah, exactly. The fans from 97 or 8, whatever it was, that said, die, Rocky, die, were just a little bit too late, I suppose.
He's dead, Rocky, dead.
Exactly. But no, it was... I don't know if they should have done Austin Hogan. I think that would have been better, to be honest. Maybe that's what they were hoping for. But it was a little bit too much, to be fair. But for that time, it probably wasn't.
I think a lot of people like yourself, where they thought, surely Austin Hogan's the obvious go-to match, whether or not they thought they might just keep it in their back pocket for down the road, or whether they just thought that, you know, in terms of that sort of icon status, maybe Rock Hogan has more mileage, or with Rock breaking into Hollywood, and, you know, there's a bit more potential crossover appeal.
And Hogan failing at Hollywood, that's right, yes.
There's probably more industry parallels with Hogan and Rock than there are with Hogan and Austin.
Do you think they missed out the opportunity? Never mind bloody Hogan, Austin. Yeah, having Santa with muscles taking on the Scorpion King.
Yeah, exactly. As in those characters.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You may have defeated Hollywood Hogan.
I've never watched that, to be honest.
Fucking running by Suburban Commando.
But you haven't taken me on with my army of gremlins too, the new batch. And Leslie Nielsen in that brief cameo from Spy Hard.
Oh, he gets tagged in, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets tagged in and he gets beat up.
And he was, and his mates from Muppets in Space.
Muppets in Space, the worst Muppets film.
Where Hogan tells the world that he can still make their liver quiver.
Yes.
Don't know why I remember that, but I do.
And that one where he's a bounty hunter or something.
Suburban Commando.
That's right, frozen Christopher Lloyd in the corner for Hogan.
I was frozen today!
And, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger in the corner for The Rock. I don't know, some dweeb. Yeah, I'm with you. It's. I think it would have aged better if the crowd hadn't been like, yeah, whatever, we don't care about your trucks. It's fucking Hogan. Yay, he's back.
You just, yeah, you just needed the promo. You didn't need any... You needed the promo, and then you needed maybe a video package on the history of Hogan, video package on the history of The Rock, and that's all you needed. You didn't need to add... This is the greatest example in wrestling history of over-egging the pudding. Because what you had from that one promo was everything you needed. You had Hogan, Rock on the marquee. All you needed. The truck shit was ridiculous. And it's a classic Vince thing. It's like the whole thing where they wouldn't do Vince versus Bret Hart at WrestleMania. And the over-egging of that pudding to get him there.
I disagree.
Oh, Bret's got hit with a car. Oh, he's in a cast. Oh, no, he might not make it. Vince signed. Turns out it was an actress. John Cena knows an actor. And it was all made up. It was a setup all along.
I had completely forgotten all that.
That was the story.
For that rubbish match.
The story was that Bret had broken his leg in a car accident.
He said
goodbye forever to the WWE, got in a car, got hit by another car. He was in a cast. Vince was like, come back and wrestle. I promise I'll fight you. He comes out in a cast, looks like shit. They sign the contract and then he goes, aha, I'm not really in a cast. And John Cena knew an actor who did it for me. I'll see you at WrestleMania, kiddo. And then they have the match at Mania where Vince comes out and goes, I've bought off your whole family. And all the hearts come out and they go, not really, dickhead.
That match is awful.
I bought all the hearts out for 10 Canadian dollars.
Oh, my God, that match is awful, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you for remembering. Yeah, I'm going to go from Rock Hogan, the highlight of the year, to Tom on fucking Vince versus Bret. Let's go back to 02, quick.
Spin back.
In the TARDIS, quick. But yes, in the satellite feed, the lucky crowd get another My Sacrifice, this time for Austin. The crowd cheers. It's 2002. Jason, what's your opinion on Creed, My Sacrifice?
I like it.
Good lad.
Yes, the right answer, sir. The right answer.
Is it like how it's going for us, where you start off going, this is cool, then insanely overplayed to ironic, and now you've gone all the way to, no, I actually like this song now.
I always loved it. I always ironically or unironically loved it.
It got so overplayed. It's one of the earliest wrestling memes I remember seeing was when WrestleCrap got sick of seeing there's one for Austin, there's one for Kurt, there's one for Triple H. So someone did it just for WrestleCrap. So it was montage of Kamala bowling on Raw with when you are with me. George Animal Seal getting electric shock therapy on Saturday night's main event.
There's nothing more wrestling than going, hello, my friend, we meet again.
Gobbledygook popped out the egg.
Where should we begin?
I think the first time I heard it, it was quite spine tingling as well, because it worked
Mate, every time I hear it, it's spine. Every time I hear it, it's goosebumps. Every time.
Yeah. I'd see someone about that.
It's like, yeah, I may have a serious medical condition.
Yeah. Speaking of medical conditions, Kane comes out to limpingly do the spot again and then take another bloody German suplex, then take another one on the table. And I put, that's how the sausage is made. Good notes there, Matthew. That's very helpful.
That sounds like a Kane quote. That's how the sausage is made.
Do you think he's meant to get stuck in that chair?
Do you think he meant to get stuck in the chair?
He gets stuck in King's chair, doesn't he?
Oh, he does, doesn't he? Like his hand slips into it.
Wait, my hand isn't in pain. I'll fix that in a jiffy. Ow!
My hand's not in the red. I think they kept that in, Jason, for comedy value.
I laughed.
I laughed. We all laughed. We all laughed at Kane's misfortune.
Maggie laughed. She's so brave.
Just stop those miners.
Stop it. And we all come out. And cut
wrong
too
Maggie,
soon.
Sorry.
Too soon. And Cole is incredulous at Vince wanting community service for them. Lola's like, hey, come on now, Cole. Community service is pretty tough. I love Lola during this period. Kevin Nash reads out a prepared statement as Cole nearly explodes from rage like Ian Harrison.
He goes mad, doesn't he?
It's great. Cole is... Sometimes, he definitely eggs the pudding. as Tom likes to say.
Over eggs the buddy.
But he's so good here because he's such dicks. All wishes The Rock a speedy recovery. He stresses they're not apologizing because they have to. They're doing so because they mean it. Soz. Hogan apologizes even though The Rock attacked him first.
Mm.
But Hogan's not going to be sorry for anything he does at WrestleMania. I put, haha, this ruled. But then Austin shows up in a black pickup truck so he can smash Hogan's ambulance. I put, it's fucking Fury Hour round here. I hope that's the name of the WWE.
Crush
game.
Hour.
Bollocks. What's Fury Hour?
I believe...
Oh, that was the Herb Abrams.
That was Herb Abrams' UWF show.
I got Herb mixed up with the Crush Hour. It's all right. This is like SmackDown. This is pre-recorded. So when we do this reel in an hour's time, we'll make sure we get that line right.
He did a Father James Mitchell. They just booked a wrestling show.
Yeah, that's what we associate with James Mitchell.
It is after the Halloween night.
Wow, after the Hogan's ambulance and now Austin's black pickup truck, it's Dirty Crush Hour.
Good
See chat. How natural that is? And then we're going to hit Kane with a chair just to make it good.
See, Jason, what Jason's learning is Jason is getting the satellite feed of the Gold Dalek Classic SmackDown review. everything gets moved around and put into place.
He won't be laughing when I switch him off. Steve Austin batters Hall with a tire iron to the knee. Cole goes with a crowbar and then gets yelled at by JR. And we know this because Lawler does a spot and pressure JR going, it's a fucking tire iron. Then the NWO find out Austin has sprayed what on NWO's limo in the same way that they spray paint NWO on people. And then Austin chases them off. Jesus, the NWO look like Scratch and Grounder. Zoinks, Hall, let's get out of here.
Hey, we killed The Rock. Fucking Balkan skull. NWO.
Yeah. What did you think of this heartfelt apology?
To be honest, I was listening to Cole more than anything. absolutely loved him on commentary during this segment.
Yeah, I think he's very effective here playing his role of stating the bleeding obvious, but it's not that obvious. I think they had to make it, please, I hope people get this. Because the opening bit of the NWO pay-per-view, it was kind of like, what? I don't really get the nuance. This is not the nuanced world order that I was anticipating, to be honest with you. But now it's like, oh, okay, it is dicks.
And also, lads, Hogan is spot on. The Rock did start it.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so like, I'm actually with Hogan on this. Like, I think had The Rock not rock-bottomed him, maybe The Rock wouldn't have been hit by a car. I mean...
I'd like to point out, Buddy Rogers started it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry, and some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs. UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Never mind that. Here's Edge and his three-star song from a three-star album, sponsored by Truth, Resident Evil the Movie, and Hungry Man. Order food that's in love. But what the fuck does that mean? I know it's vaguely Valentine's Day, but who loves food? Actually, don't answer that.
There's a certain portion of the internet that you can see people really in love with food.
Yeah, feel the mukbang, as DDP might say if he's feeling a bit fat. He's taking on Christian Fast action here as the commentators talk about Austin and the NWO, of course. Edge applies his figure four edge lock. Lawler says that's what JR called on Raw, and I only vaguely remember that bloody hold. What the hell is this?
It's the educator.
Is that what it gets called later on?
See, Jason knows.
Thank you. Yes. This would be the last singles televised match these two would have until 2010. Christian has the mic afterwards and says, I guess he expects every... What? I guess he expects... No, Matthew, you typed that out wrong. I guess you all expect me to have a temper tantrum. There we go. Because as a former European IC tag team champion, can't win anymore. I'm not going to cry. You know what I am going to do? I'm going to quit. And he leaves. And the crowd goes, yay! Like a bunch of dicks. And the same way where someone smashes a glass in a bar, everyone goes, yay.
We're so sad about Christian leaving that we immediately cut to the NWO backstage.
I was
going to
say, then a second, and then I'm going to cut. And then as soon as the tea leaves his mouth, we then cut to a dodgy segment that I'm going to laugh at. But before that, any thoughts on this little match between these two Canadians?
Thought they had a lovely time.
I love that match.
I thought it was good, man. Tight and bright and did the job. And I can't believe it won't be another 8 years before they have a singles match.
Crazy, isn't it?
What wild times. I thought that they both played their parts really well. I like Christian as I enjoy the little bit of the start whereby as Christian's coming to the ring, his pyro just poots out.
Yeah.
I hear that can happen to some men.
Yeah, it's difficult. So they end up just hugging instead. And maybe just seeing how they feel tomorrow. They did drink a lot of beer earlier in the night, so maybe that's had something to do with it. And also, I'm quite tired. Work's been busy lately.
So all right, Henry the Eighth. But that was a pretty good historical joke. Thank you.
Write it a lot. Pat on the back for thee. No, I like that bit. So it kind of compounds Christian's misery that his pyro is not even working. He can't win, and no one gives a fuck about his pyro. You enjoyed it as well, though, Jason, didn't you, sir? You saying?
I can't remember Edge ever winning with the Educator, but obviously he did.
Well,
he certainly educated someone
in this match. Christian's currently the worst Christian since that Pope who killed all those people a few decades ago. It doesn't matter about Christian. It doesn't matter about that other wild times they had. We then cut to the NWO hiding in a small room. They've somehow lost Scott Hall in the process of hiding in a small room. And I've just typed, rather like Jack Nicholson The Shining, the NWO. The NWO are hiding in a small room. A small room. They've shut the door and they've lowered the blinds to avoid being seen in the small room. The NWO, the all-powerful NWO, a small room. And they've lost Scott Hall in the process of running the NWO. How'd they lose him? He's not a set of car keys.
I like how NWO ran roughshod over WCW for months before anybody even sort of put a hole in the scales. Whereas they've been here for like 2 weeks and they're already going, it's Steve Austin, exit stage right. Like comedy.
Look, Nash, a small room. We can hide in there. Good thinking, Hogan.
They're already fucking doing Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote with Steve Austin.
A
rattlesnake, better run. Quick in here. But where's Scott? Fucking Animaniacs on SmackDown on Thursday night.
NWO. A whole bunch of WF lads will be on Fear Factor later on this week. Presumably, they'll have to just watch this shit. It's a tough contest. Oh, you know what? Watch this episode of SmackDown or eat a donkey's dick. Well, drive a hard bargain, but I've already seen SmackDown this week, Joe Rogan, so...
Pass us the dick.
Anyway, I suppose, speaking of eating shit for little reward, the Hardys are returning to TV now. The much-needed return to save the dead tag division.
That's earned you your B-Tech in segues.
Thank you. I'm good, I need that. They're teaming with RVD, and I'll put, oh no, does that mean Goldust? No, it's Lance Storm. And the Dudleys. Oh, okay. I put the bloom isn't just off the rose for Hardy's Dudleys, it's mummifying. The crowd love RVD. Matt tries a twist of fate, wonderfully halted with a springboard clothesline by Lance Storm, who then follows with a majestic dropkick. Then the Duds and Hardys do their usual Matt gets beat down until Jeff makes the hot, 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 God, he's so hot tag. Except, no, it's RVD this time who kicks everyone until Stacy interjects, setting up Lita Stacy, but Devon prevents it, pushing Matt off the ropes and into a 3D, with the pin being broken up by the Swanton from Jeff. Bubba clotheslines Lance accidentally, so Lance super kicks Jeff. So Lance turns around into a kick from RVD, who finishes with a 5-star. This was an okay match with a sweet finishing sequence. If that sounded like a big list, that's because it was. Cole and Lawler get told off for missing something, but they say, hey, how can we call the action if we can't see it? We've got no monitors because of Kane's stupid back.
I thought, you know what? Same old match they have, but still a lot of fun. I like the finish. Like, yep. It went 100 miles an hour towards the finish. Good stuff. Jason, your thoughts?
Love the finish. Love the love for RVD.
Yep.
Thought that was good. King pissed me off in this match.
Oh, because he spotted a woman.
He just kept going on about Stacy's legs, like, consistently. And it just took away from what was going on in the ring, really.
Like he'd never seen legs before.
Yeah. But he was like that for ages, wasn't he? I enjoyed Jeff breaking up the three count with the Swanton as well. Mm. But what he was wearing, I haven't got a clue.
What he was wearing?
Yeah, that yellow outfit he was wearing was awful.
What did you think about his outfit this week, Mav?
You know where it would look great? On my bedroom floor. As Jeff pointed out, how come if I did stuff like this, the wrestlers I fancy, Bath, you would be bad, but you get away with it? I just said, because I'm better. He didn't like that for some reason. Oh, well. I'm here, he's not. We then get a satellite feed live read for... This definitely isn't on the thing. They're hyping up UPM's broadcast of Lethal Weapon 3, a.k.a. the worst one. Lawler says he knows about having to hang out with a wacky sidekick like Joe Pesci, meaning Cole. That's a bit forced. The pair of them laugh at how naff it is. Steffi then shows up to yell at Flair for making things tough for her. Steph says she knows Kurt won at No Way Out because she counted the pin. They hear a toilet flush and everyone assumes it's Arn, that old shitter. But it's Triple H who says life's a bitch and then you marry one. She leaves, but I was too busy focusing on Triple H's arm acne. Jesus Christ, how bad does he have to be doing steroids if the back knee's moving?
I was too busy focusing on the fact that this segment was basically Triple H having a dump.
If you like that, then you love the main event of WrestleMania X8.
He's done him. Oh, he's de-shooting, cowboy. I'd like if he just come out and gone, oh, give him 15 minutes.
It's so great seeing other people leave during that match. They wouldn't have run. They didn't run out that the arena that quick. He yelled fire.
God bless WWE giving us a WrestleMania 18 main event that allowed people to beat the traffic. So kind of them.
Yeah, so what do you think of Triple H's big shit?
I thought it was a funny segment. I thought it was just the fact that you heard the toilet flush and they both Flair and Steph looked to the door as if to, like, that was such a transitional point. Like, oh, you with Arn is in there having a shit. Like, I don't know why it tickled me. Like, oh, that sounds like the Enforcer. Enforcing out something. but surely Steph would have known.
I think it was right. He was the guts of the horseman. We can smell him from here.
I feel like Arn's the type of person, though, that if he had gone to the loo, you'd know it was Arn, because he'd go to the loo and he'd just be like hacking up his guts while he was in there. So, like, he'd be on the loo. You know how some blokes at football matches will go and stand at the urinal and just go, I feel like that'd be Arn. As I think we'd know it was Arn, we'd just sit here and, like, do some really unhealthy coughing.
And you know what? Toilet. That would still sound better than his commentary with Scott Hudson.
It would still sound so much fucking better.
I can't believe Triple H took a shit and it didn't take 15 minutes. And
and only took one segment.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Stacker 2 presents the APA beating Billion Chuck.
Speaking of struggling to shit, yeah. Stacker 2!
You won't shit for a week with Stacker 2.
All your shit constantly.
Your ass is going to look like a bad game of Tetris with Stacker 2.
Fuck it.
Presents APA beating Billy and Chuck to earn a shot at the tag champions at WrestleMania. Oh, but who were they again? Oh, that's right. It's the team of Like Life, They're Small and Hard, Taz and Spike Dudley, who are defending their tag titles against Billy and Chuck, the guys who lost to the APA in a match to get a title shot.
Give that
a few seconds.
It's mad, isn't it?
Taz gets isolated and worked over as Lawler compares Billy and Chuck to Ken dolls, and I put, they're just Kenuff. They're both great at stuff, and in brackets I put men. Hot tag to Spike, who sends Billy outside. Taz, illegal man, gets the Taz mission, but Billy counters the Dudley dog into a Chuck kick, and the famous Sir gives the gaze the win at 3 minutes 14 seconds. Good job of losing that match to then win the title shot and then the match, guys. I put a whatever match as Dewey has decided that Spike and Taz suck now or something. I don't know, and took the belts off them. Just for context, this tag team would have one more match on Jacked in a week's time in a losing match to the Dudleys. And that was it.
Oh.
They were over. Taz and Spike were roving. Don't take our word for it. Go watch them on the Peacock. And they were getting nice reactions. But I wonder if there was any reason for this or if they simply went, there's literally no other tag teams you to face now because the tag team division's on its arse. So we're going to go with the tall gays because they can now wrestle other people.
I've read nothing in the Observers that suggests there was a reason behind it other than just they like the Billy and Chuck characters and they see there's something in there. That's about all I know. Jason, your thoughts on the tag title change that we got?
I was gutted at the time.
Yeah, me too.
I thought Spike and Taz were a good team.
Really good.
Seems like this night Taz was just in adverts. He was in the Stacker 2 one and he was in the other one as well.
Oh, God, you're right. So, hey, whoa, Taz is over pushed. Get the tiles off him. He'll be thinking he's 5'1" in a minute.
I guess this was the time when he was transitioning to commentary, wasn't it? Because he was doing heat a bit, obviously, with cold.
Ah, that's right. Yes, he literally did commentary before this thing. He probably went, what do you want me to do? You want me to wrestle? Do the tag titles. Advertise Stacker 2 and tell kids to smack down your vote. If you shove a broom up my ass, I can dust up afterwards as well if you like. Yeah, you're right. He's overworked, that lad.
I'm really sad to see this title reign end so suddenly because I was really enjoying Taz and Spike as the fiery underdogs. I thought it was great.
They did do a lovely job considering they only had a real few of the Dudleys and then they swanned around for a bit.
Basically, yeah. I think we had, I think Jason and I had a segment before that you didn't have.
What happened?
Unless you're going to talk about it now, because we had a segment with Steve Austin.
What did he do?
Where we find out the fate of Scott Hall.
Oh, that was not on my satellite feed.
Was it not?
Well, he comes out later on, but like what happened? What is this? Is this a backstage?
Did you get this, Jason, or have I written this down wrong? Did we get a segment?
Yeah, Kevin and Hogan say we need weapons and then go to find Paul. And for some reason, and then Austin's walking around with his tire iron, and we see where Scott Hall was.
So we Kevin and Hogan bravely go out of their bunker. And then we see Steve Austin with said tire iron and across the hallway where he's on his way to go and check on him now. Oh, no, it's inside a freezer. We open a freezer.
What? And it's the butler from Tomb Raider 2.
If only. We open a freezer and Scott Hall is in there. Tied up, mouth bandaged.
He's on the rocks.
Like, and Austin, so do you not get any of that?
No.
Where you open the freezer and he's in there.
No, there's a big gap as we get a whole bunch of adverts and Triple H's Beautiful Day video, and then Chimmel does some voices on the microphone. I just put this as being a badly put together show. So that's, I don't know what was happening in the satellite feed then. Yeah, so presumably the live crowd saw this, or I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, because there was reactions to it. So Austin,
that's
very interesting.
He goes into the freezer and then Scott Hall's in there, like he's gagged and he's tied up on a wheelie office chair.
Oh, wow. Friday already?
Austin, and then what I thought was a bit of a weird dick move for a recovering alcoholic.
Oh, this is the right.
Grabs a couple of beers. He's like, do you want to have a beer with me? Do to a party? Should we celebrate? Let's have a beer. Austin has a beer and then wheels him out of there. And then it becomes, and then we get, after the title win, he's still backstage. He's backstage for ages, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we go back to backstage after the Taz and Spike win and see if I've got this right, Jason. Steve Austin's wheeling Scott Hall around in the chair like fucking Lou and Andy. And and Austin chucks Scott Hall into an engineering area where like he pulls back the fence and parks him in there under a spotlight and says, I'm going to use you like cheese. You're going to be cheese.
I'm going to work.
That's his words. You're going to be cheese. And I'm going to hide over there. So when Hall and Ash come and get you,
all right,
I'm
going to
hit him with this tire iron. And the one thing he puts him in this spotlight. Austin ducks out a shot. And then Jason, I don't know whether you saw this as well. The last shot we see is Scott Hall looking so sad. Like crestfallen. Like none of this time he's struggling. Like he just looks a bit like scared. And then the last shot, he kind of like his head dips and his eyes close. And I'm like, oh, I feel really sad for him all of a sudden. He's having a terrible day. So I'm so sad you missed all this. Steve Austin wheeling Scott Hall around the venue.
Well, the only thing I know about this is because I've listened to a lot of Something to Wrestle With back when it was, listenable. But this is the segment then when Austin pours beer over Hall and Hall is on the...
No, that's not the segment.
Oh.
No. He doesn't pour beer over him in this one. So the beer one happened at No Way Out because at the end of the night, Scott Hall goes back out, eats a stunner, and Austin pours beer over him at the end of No Way Out.
Oh, so he doesn't... Oh, okay, fair
enough. He doesn't do it here. No. He offers him a beer a couple of times.
But he does actually give him it. All right.
Yeah. Me. He offers him a beer a few times during this, but he never actually pours beer over him until a bit later on. Oh. But like the thumbnail for this particular show is from these backstage skits. Don't know whether... Did you notice that?
No.
The thumbnail is Steve Austin. I'm trying to find it now on the fucking
that's gonna take 20 minutes.
So. As balls, WWE Network. But it's... There it is. There we go. Look, so that's the... That's the thumbnail. And it's Austin with Scott Hall, his mouth gagged. Jason, you've already seen it, but I'm going to very quickly see if I can find one of these that I can show Maff. So... That's it. So it was just before. Yeah, look, so Billy and Chuck win the
title. Yeah, hurry up, Tom. We're going to get to a Jericho segment.
Billy and Chuck win the titles.
Really, people want to hear about how bad Jericho is right now.
Billy and Chuck win the titles. They're celebrating. Yay. We jumped on each other, but it's all fun and games. Have a little hug. Well done to you guys. You are the champions.
G-A-Y-M-E-S.
So today be like, oh man, aren't they funny? Ha ha ha. Like, oh God. Like, so now, so then we get a segment with Farouk and Bradshaw where they're like, oh, we've got to fight them at WrestleMania. Well, that's not going to be
anything. Oh no, I don't want to see that much.
Rubbish. And then we cut backstage and there is Steve Austin wheeling Scott Hall in an office chair. All the way through the production area.
Like Jim Carrey, that one dude in Batman Forever.
There's the engineering section that Jason
says
and I
engineering,
saw.
Engineering, so that's how you know.
And he decides, I'm going to go a little bit further than there. We're going to take him round the corner. And he's just having a little wheel of him backstage, finds another engineering area, and goes, this is the one, because he sees a spotlight. And he goes, you're going to be in the spotlight. That's what you want, right? You're going to be in a spotlight.
You're in the spotlight. You're a big
that's
star.
That's great, yeah.
You're a big star.
That's what you want.
It's what you wanted, be in the spotlight.
You want to be a big star?
And he's now going to be a piece of cheese. Right? Thank you for bearing
with us. He's dropped his pipe? I might be in a big cart, I don't know.
You should have thought about this. You should have thought about this way.
That's got to be cheese.
So he takes off his ponytail.
You trying to scare me?
Okay.
Picks up his tire iron.
I'm going to leave you last. Get over.
Why?
Because your little friends are coming here looking for you.
Okay.
You're a piece of cheese.
Piece of cheese.
Oh, he's bait.
Your
right.
Gonna come here.
No, he's just...
Yeah, because he's I'm going to put cheese like and your mate's going to come, right.
Why, I have no idea.
Damn it, I don't like this now. I was happy just thinking, like, Austin is wearing, I'm going to beat you like cheese.
It's a bit earlier on in that when... He goes to the engineering room and he goes, should I put you in here? And he goes, no, I haven't got a college degree. And that's why he moves forwards to a meeting room.
That's good.
That's it. Jason.
I missed that.
And then he looks sad.
Yeah, because he's going to have the fuck kicked out of him.
He just looks sad.
He's ready for Guantanamo Bay. Of course he looks sad.
But yes, that's the line as well from Jason. I've got a degree. And he just wheels on past
there. That's good. Oh, I'm good. I missed that then. What we did get, though, was a transition over to Stephanie heading out to announce something. But then Jericho, I'll put in bracket, remember him, comes out. He says they haven't talked much since he won the UWU title. And I put, when was that? He reminds her of all the horrible stuff Jericho used to say about her. But now he's focused and realizes Triple H sucks and Steph rules. She's like, yay, how about we join forces? And Steph will make sure he never loses that title. So she offers to be more than a friend, .. Business partners. They shake hands. Oh no, we've hit this chapter of the book. Both of them then stay at ringside to commentate for Triple H's main event. So Triple H shows up, immediately spray paints Jericho and Steph, and then beats him up. Steph gets the only offense on Triple H, a slap. So Triple H gets ready to pedigree her, but Jericho stops and then gets beat up some more until Undertaker remembers he's wrestling and heads out. So Jericho runs away, Steph runs away, Undertaker sees them both and goes, yeah, sod it, leaves, and we go to a break, and the crowd are chanting bullshit during the satellite feed, and the crowd, the commentators are like, yep.
Because you didn't get a main event.
That's it. And I'll put, yeah, come on, that ain't it, is it? That was it.
That's all we get for the main event. It's really a segment to set up this awful, horrible combo of Chris Jericho and Stephanie McMahon, which completely retcons all the history between them for the sake of what? A Mania main event. I said this several times, Jason, on this podcast, and I stand by it. If they could have got away with doing Triple H versus Stephanie McMahon and Stephanie going in as undisputed champion, they would have done. And that's, but they don't, and they can't. What do you think, though, of the alliance to end Triple Mania?
Triple Mania. Oh, no. Antonio Penna's going to be furious.
What do you make of it, Jason?
I loved when Jericho became undisputed champion. I'm a massive Jericho fan. But yeah, like you say, it was all about Steph and Triple H going into Mania. Jericho was just a third wheel.
He was the Joe Pesci of the feud.
I think we missed a bit more as well.
We did indeed, yeah.
Mascot,
I've gotten fucked here, sorry.
There's a Billy and Scott promo. And there's also when Hogan and Nash find Scott Hall as well.
Did you not get these either? Got these.
Wow, I usually get all the stuff and more. Now I've got
So Jason and I will talk you through these two segments before we get to the final part of the night.
This doesn't usually happen.
Billy and Chuck win the tag titles and they go backstage and they're giving each other plaudits and say they're the best tag team partners they've ever had. Farouk and Bradshaw then turn up and size them up and saying that they'll see them in Toronto. We'll get more than this match, thankfully. It won't just be these two teams. And then we go backstage once again. And Jason, as we talk about it, I'm going to press play on this.
I think we need to see all of it.
We go backstage.
I think I can imagine these two lads who are badass world killers looking like, you know, Hack and Slash from Reboot.
But they've got... So Kevin Nash has the pipe and Hogan has his shovel, which is beautifully ironic. They find the cheese and Austin attacks with the tire iron in the engineering area next to...
Oh, yeah, you can't see it, but Austin's just painted a tunnel on the side of a wall. And Hogan's gone, must be the way to haul. Oh, no, Hogan's not gone through it. He's banged his nose.
Hogan's run off a cliff and just held up a sign that says, yikes.
Brother. Oh, poor Hogan.
So what happens is, we get this bit on the actual feed. Math didn't, and then after Austin lightly hits both of them, he exits the engineering area with Scott Hall, shuts the door, doesn't lock it, leaves. So I don't think he locks it, does he?
But doesn't look like it.
There's no lock, but Kevin Nash and Scott Hall suddenly find themselves unable to leave.
It's one of those self-locking cage doors, you see.
To which Hogan and Nash out, come here, you coward.
Oh, God, that looked rubbish.
He makes a joke about No Way Out as well. He says, there's no way out.
Yeah, and Nash yells, that was last week, you idiot.
So, I mean, that's the last of those segments of the night that we get. So, Jason, did you enjoy the comedy stylings of Austin and the NWO running around backstage?
Yeah, it was all right. It just didn't really make any sense because Vince said that, you know, the NWO were the poison going to go through the WWF, and then they spend most of their time just running away from Austin.
Yeah, they are poison. These are rubbish. I feel sick watching them.
Yeah, I didn't know you meant that, but yeah.
Do not look directly at the NWO.
bit of a waste of TV time, really, I feel.
I think the three of them are a waste of cum at this point.
He's fucking Adam.
Sorry, I thought I'd raise the mood.
He's fucking done him.
I do get one bit. I hope after an advert for Tough Enough 2 with a pop for Al Snow, so clearly it's going to be a fantasy series, Austin rolls back out with Scott Hall in the back of his truck and does the hey yo thing while the crowd watches. Is this where we're up to?
Yeah, we're on speed with this one. So basically, Undertaker's gone fuck it and left. And then when we're back in the arena, Steve Austin's music hits and here comes his truck.
Yes.
With Scotty.
Goodbye, Springfield. There will be no one gore, says Undertaker. So we've got Hall brought out, and Austin just watts. It goes, try and make me smile. What? Laugh. What? Amuse me. What? You know, just I'm not going to do the whole typing out there. I think we drink a beer. What? A panda pop. What? A Tizer. What? A virgin cola. What? A surge. What?
A Purdy's.
A Purdy's. What?
Iron brew.
An iron, but you still buy that? What? And says he's going to kick Hall's ass every time they
Vimto.
Yell. What? I think, is that, I'm not sure we get Vimto anymore.
Oh, wait.
A Camarack. What?
A Caramac.
This is not to stop
you
doing it.
You said Camarack.
Is that how you say it?
It's Caramac.
And then he stole Bart truck. What? Says he's going to kick Hall's ass every time the crowd yell what? So crowd explodes at that. More watts than a light bulb factory. Oof. Austin asks Hall if he's got a buzz or if he's drunk. That's not very nice. Austin punches him with his drinking hand. Stunner to Hall. And then Austin dumps booze all over him. And Steve spray paints 316, which sprays on quite impressively considering he's wet with Budweiser's. Then I show him in the post show after the show's finished. Austin drinks some more and then wanders back in to stunner Hall again. Then Austin spends like 10 minutes drinking beers with ringside fans before eventually heading back to apologize to Hall after stunning him in twice and says, hey, let's be friends. Hall can't even say anything because he's selling. And Austin says, well, if you're going to be like that, and stunners him for a third time, he leaves. Hall is helped out. No Undertaker versus Triple H. Fuck you, Baltimore. That's the end of SmackDown.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we see Scott Hall get dumped in beer on the TV version.
No.
I wonder if they... So he offers him a beer at one point, and I think he picks one up and then they do the stunner bit. So I guess this must have been when he came back out maybe and they've sort of put them both together. But so we don't see on the TV version him covering him in beer.
The only thing more hacked together than this episode of SmackDown is the podcast talking about this episode of SmackDown.
Honestly, we've never covered an episode of SmackDown that has been so chopped and changed.
Yeah. Well, can't wait to put together the master cut.
Release the Snyder Cut of SmackDown from January 21st, 2002.
What did you think of this main event segment?
It was. It just kind of continued on this. It's different for us because Jason and I saw the full story being told of like Scott Hall and Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan and Steve Austin.
Oh, definitely needed, like
all backstage. Just kind of so it built up to this bit, but then I guess you could have still done the show without those bits and it still would have made sense because it was the whole idea that Scott Hall got lost like a wee lamb. I thought that Austin, now the story behind the scenes on this one is that Austin he's pissed off because he doesn't want to work with the NWO. He's upset that he's in a program with Scott Hall at WrestleMania because he doesn't think Scott Hall's going to make it to WrestleMania at the rate that he was going in terms of his backstage drama. So he's pissed off the fact that he's having to sort of kowtow to these this creative. So I guess making Austin look fucking hard as nails in front of the NWO is maybe like a reward, or maybe like something just to placate Steve Austin, just to go, we're going to give you loads in on the NWO as compensation for it, and then you'll beat Scott Hall, and then you can move on to the next thing. It's quite what it feels like to me.
That's good. After dogging Jericho for 9 of their 10 segments in the build-up to this, now Austin is going to dog the NWO. All 3 of the bastards, even Hogan, whose main event with The Rock, come at me, Jericho and Triple H. We know what the main event was.
Yep.
It's like, great. I have no desire to see that match.
I wonder who the real poison is here.
Alcohol.
That's right. Alcohol.
Yeah, proof of thought.
Jason, your thoughts on the closing segment of SmackDown before we do a final thought on the show?
I feel like Austin became a talking for Storus.
A word?
I don't know. It's just like I wrote down here about he names different types of words for beer, different types of words for being sad, different types of words. He's very clever. He's a clever guy, and I think the funniest part of this is when he says to the crowd, "Stop saying what, because I don't want to wear out my good shoe." it's just a normal Steve Austin ending, isn't it? Just goes to drink a beer, doesn't want to drink a beer, stunner.
Yes.
And like you say, he didn't want to wrestle Hall at Mania. He wasn't interested in that. He's made that quite clear numerous times in recent memory, and I don't blame him. But he's tried to make the most out of what he's been given.
Pretty much on the money, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of a pseudonym Steve Austin.
Nice. Let's go and do around the table on things that we remembered and things that we forgot from this episode. Jason, do you remember this episode first time round, and do you want to join in the things we forgot and things we remembered?
Yeah, I remember this episode. I remember the segments and most of it being Raw recaps, which back then was quite obvious that SmackDown was the B show and it wasn't looked at as a, you know, we'll have a couple of matches, but other than that, we'll just keep recapping stuff.
Okay.
So I don't remember Christian quitting in this episode at all. I totally forgot about that. And I remember being annoyed when there wasn't the Undertaker Triple H match.
Yeah, because it's a big marquee match to announce at the start of the show and then just never get to.
Yeah. I think the fans must have been very angry about that.
I hope someone got fired for that blunder. So so you remember being annoyed at the lack of main event. That's a good one. We'll go with that one. Matthew, what do you remember?
I remember Taz and Spike losing the tag titles because I'm like, I like them. They're like me, but smaller.
And less Bishop Auckland.
Less Bishop Auckland.
And the rest.
That's right. When we're wrestling in our backyard federation, we tried booking them. We said, no, Christian quit, so no, he was available. So there's that. Yeah, just going, oh, what? And I didn't think they had much build. They have kind of got a build, but the tag division's just on its arse. You take away the Hardys and Dudleys, who are already stale at this point, it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. I remembered it's something that you didn't even know existed, Matthew. Scott Hall being wheeled around by Steve Austin all night. And just being parked up in different places and being called cheese and just being treated like a bitch all night. So I remembered that. That's my remember. Jason, you forgot that Edge and that Christian quit on SmackDown. That's your forget, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that threw me off as well. I knew that he did a thing where he was having temper tantrums and stuff, which would lead to something with DDP, but I didn't realize he did the I quit thing on SmackDown. All right. What did you forget?
How crap the NWO were here after nearly killing The Rock on Raw. Zoinks! You know, quick, the small room!
To the NWO mobile!
Now we're in a cage! What the fuck?
I forgot that Kurt Angle fucking battered Kane! Like, Kane has never got a bigger shoe in. I don't think outside of his own brother, my own brother, like by Kurt Angle, like proper fucking knackered him. And it's hilarious to think that in order to get some of the bits right, they brought him back out to come back out and have a bit more because we have to reshoot some bits. That's class. A very scrappy episode of SmackDown comes to a conclusion on the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review. It is now time to say thank you to Jason Goddard from Patreon, our wonderful Patreon, for being our third man on this special episode of SmackDown. Have you had a lovely time, Jason?
I've had a lovely time, yeah.
Would you like a prize from the top board? It can be a washing machine. It can be this fancy new Hoover. It could be a brand new ColecoVision. Or you could have £50 to spend at your local Rumbelows. Which prize would you like from the board, Jason?
I'd like to gamble, please, Tom.
Oh, you're going to gamble. Okay, you've gambled it, and congratulations. Thank you for gambling. You've won yourself. Oh, it's a brand new tease made from Black & Decker. That is yours to take home with you today, and a holiday for you and someone you love to Southampton. Well done to you, Jay. Well done, Jason. You're off to Southampton. That's right. You can go and enjoy the boats in Southampton. Matthew, have you had a lovely time?
I love this segment we do at the end of every episode.
Something new on piloting while Jason's here. I thought I'd wait for an audience. Plug away. So what have you got coming up, Matthew?
Some rest.
Ling.
Oh, yes. That's what I meant to say. Some rest of the ling. That's how it's spelled. The W is silent like I should be, I guess. I'm not concentrating on much, to be honest with you, outside of my flat move. That will be hopefully happening. I'm just concentrating on that. Rather important thing. And also try not to look at the video screen that me and Tom are on. With the green bit in the middle, the red bit on the left, and the blue bit on the right, God, it looks like the GoldenEye watch. At the pause menu. I've never noticed that before until now. Yeah, so I think I'll play GoldenEye again. What about yourself, Tom?
Classic Raw review back on Monday. We watched, myself and Jack Atkins, watched Survivor Series 1996.
Oh, it's a good one, though.
It's a good show. It is a good show. Brand new episode of Punkvember on Sunday. Myself, Aidan Gibbons and Fraser Porter getting together because Aidan Gibbons has written a dissertation on CM Punk's time in AEW. So we're basically having a round table all on that. You can listen to that on Sunday on the Cultaholic podcast feed. Brand new matches of the month with Jack.
Oh, whoa, that cat's... Just going right at the camera, like really photogenically.
Beetroot popping up and saying hi as well.
No, not beetroot.
Is it not beetroot?
No, that's rhubarb. Don't be silly, Tom. Come on, you know the difference between the two.
That one's pickles.
Oh, it's
damn
pickles!
It, I was so close.
Apologies to beetroot.
It's like Family Fortune stuff you have on your plate.
A gun.
Sorry, mush. Say mushy peas is outside. Gun.
Let's end this before we're ended. Jason, thank you for joining us, sir. Can people find you online? Should we do any plugs for...
You can find them on the A1. Driving a truck.
No, I don't have any socials.
Good for you. But... It's a mess on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you give them the signal, who honk his horn?
He's at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together at Eddie Stobart on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. Love you, bye. And wave, everybody. Wave. Wave. Sorry. You're not waving. Wave more.
Thank you, Goddard. You leave me breathless.
I want to be an Eddie Stobart driver. Behind the wheel is where I want to be. Oh, let me be an Eddie Stobart driver. Is firm in haulage history.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.